Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the book of Revelations, Revelations chapter 1. We'll read the whole chapter together. So Revelations chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants these things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Dear congregation, we want to continue the explaining of the first chapter of Revelation 1, and we go farther with verse 5.
What a wonderful grace is it to see Jesus Christ really. Did you ever see him? Maybe you, my little children, you say, how can that be? That we see Jesus really. He is in heaven. He has been on the earth 33 years. And now, since long times, he is in heaven. And yet, my dear children, it's possible to see Jesus. A lot of people didn't see him really when they saw him walking and eating and teaching. They thought he was a man. I asked to the prisoners in the jail this Sunday afternoon, who is Jesus? Is he only a man? And a number of them cried, he's gone! We all know that. With our head. And that's good. But not enough. What we need is to see Jesus by faith. That's a revelation. That's the name of this book, isn't it? Revelation. To reveal something that what's hidden, that we don't see. Why don't people not really love Jesus? So many. Because they don't see him. Because they don't know him. There is a people on the earth which can say by grace, we have seen his glory. The glory of the only begotten Son of God. That's what we need too. That's what we have to pray. When we come to the house of God, O Lord, open my eyes to see Jesus. That's the wonder what is happening in this part of the precious Word of God. John, when he is on Patmos, a small isle in the Aegean Sea, not far from Turkey. He is there alone with his Lord. That's very precious, isn't it? When you are alone and you feel really the presence of the Lord, his nearness. It's very needy that we seek that places. We read it from Daniel the prophet 3 times a day. He was very close to his Lord. And he was so busy. He had so many things to do. And yet he always found the time for that most precious moments of the day. And he preferred to be with the lions than that he should miss this precious moment. Also John, the apostle who was beloved by Jesus, he was alone with his Lord here, in exile, a difficult way for his flesh, but yet a very blessed way. For the ways of the Lord are wonderful, are perfect. But often it seems that it is against us. But when you fear and love the Lord, no way which the Lord goes with you is against you, but also all that always for you. So that you may come nearer to the Lord, that you may know and love him better. And that's the desire of your soul, isn't it? Well, then you have accept also the way by which the Lord will bless you with his grace more and more. Adjon, he was very privileged. He had been so close to the Lord Jesus in his young days. My young people, do you live close to the Lord Jesus too? My younger people, growing up, do you know really the Savior? John was still young. And in his young days, he was a disciple and got by grace a deep insight in the love of Christ. And yet he had to learn still a lot. For the more we receive from the Lord, the more we see how little we know. And the stronger becomes our desire to see him better. And here in exile, he's very old now, probably in his 90s. Here he sees things which he never saw before so clear. We are always learning. We need always the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And there he receives his revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And then in the name of the Lord, he is speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus. John greets the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And then we come to our text, wherein he sees so clearly the beauty, the glory of Jesus Christ. And from Jesus Christ, grace and peace from God the Father. He is the fountain of it. Grace and peace from the Holy Spirit. He works it in our hearts. He makes it really. He makes it lively. Grace and peace, the love of God, the sweet reality in the forgiveness of our sin, in the applying of the blood of Christ to our soul. And that grace and that peace is deserved by our Lord Jesus Christ. So grace and peace comes to us from our triune God and from Jesus Christ. My dear children, you all know what the meaning is of the name Jesus, isn't it? A very precious name. And pray to the Lord, O Lord, teach me, so that I may know the power, the sweetness
of that name. I must think to the old elder in the congregation where I was brought up. And as a child, I can remember still that it impressed me when he kept the reading service and did a prayer. He always concluded his prayer very tender. We pray it thee in the name of Jesus, whose name is so sweet for the heart. And as a child, I could feel that it was really true and could be jealous on that child of God. He expressed it so tender, whose name is sweet to the heart. Is the name of Jesus sweet to our heart? Young people, children, older ones, can you say it by grace that the name of Jesus is sweet to your heart? It's such a sweet person. It's such a wonderful person. He goes above all and everybody. Grace and peace from Jesus Christ. And my dear children, I expect from you that you know the meaning of the name Christ. Christ means, say it in your heart, the anointed one. Christ, by the Father anointed, to our prophet, to teach us how we are, how is God, how is He Himself. Wonderful teachings. And that's what's expressed also in this part of the text, who is the faithful witness. Do you trust, really trust with all your heart, what Jesus says? Did you really feel by the Holy Spirit the power of His word so that you embraced it? It came from His lips. It's so faithful, it's so wonderful what He is saying. Were our hearts not burning in us when He was speaking unto us on the way? Did you have ever a burning heart when you hear the voice of Christ, our highest prophet, to teach us the way to salvation, to make us known who is God, in all His glory, in all His love, in all His attributes? That's the desire of the living soul. Therefore we hang at His lips. Therefore we have an enjoyment in the reading of His word. Christ anointed to our only high priest. Dear children, young people, are you reconciled with God? Are your sins forgiven? Now, give an answer in your heart. Fell the burden away from you? The burden of your guilt? The burden of your eternal destruction? That's a burden. That's a heavy burden. And the Holy Spirit convicts us from our sin. A burden which we can never throw away. But one sight on a dying Savior. He bore my sin. And the burden falls away. And grace and peace flows in our heart, looking unto Jesus.
Oh, John, he sees the Savior. Grace, peace flows out his heart, from out his life, from out his sacrifice, in the heart of a girl, a boy, an older man or woman. Oh Lord, I'm so empty. I'm so sinful. I'm so afraid. When I have to die, I'm lost. There is a Savior for your soul. There is forgiveness for your sin. In this blessed Savior, out of Him flows it abundantly. Grace and peace be unto you from Jesus Christ. Anointed, my dear children, is He to our highest King. He conquers all our enemies. He is stronger than all our enemies. He is stronger than all our sins. Do we know Jesus Christ? Do you see Him now, congregation? Let it be the prayer of your soul, O Lord, that I may see Thee. For when you really see Him, you cannot otherwise than glorify Him, than embrace Him by living faith. Who is the faithful witness? He was in the counsel of God from all eternity. He speaks from out the heart of God. And He reveals the truth, the eternal truth of God. And therefore, when the connection is made, and you are united with Christ by the Holy Spirit, then you hear His word. Then you love His word. Then you embrace His words. Then you feel till in the deepest of your heart, when you are reading His gospel, His word, that the truth, that's the eternal truth of God. I can build on it. I can trust in it. And you do by grace. That's the wonderful experience of saving faith in practice. I know the people of God is sometimes far away from it. And that's terrible, isn't it? We read from the disciples that they didn't believe what the Lord said. Disciples of Christ. That's their flesh. It was not according to their own will. Oh no, Lord, it shall never happen what Thou art saying now. But it happened. It all happened. And it all shall happen and shall be fulfilled. What He has said, He is the faithful witness. So, John, see Him in His faithfulness. And that must be our desire to see Him too tonight. To feel it in the deepest of our soul by the saving working of the Holy Spirit. And what sees John still more? He sees Jesus as the first begotten of the dead. It shall not be a long time, congregation, and we all shall be dead. You heard from the terrible disaster in Burma. More than 22,000 people, a lot of children, a lot of young people. Maybe they were sleeping. Maybe they were eating, and at once came that heavy storm and that terrible flood, and it was eternity. Why they? Why there? Why not here? Are we better? No, we are not. And the Lord shall do according to the sins of the United States,
when the Lord should do, such as we deserved here in Grand Rapids? Why hear not such a thing till now? It can happen. Dead. And when we become 100 years old, we shall not escape the death. How do you think about your death? What's your feeling? Are you afraid? Do you wish? Oh, not now. A long time. Do you think, children, I'm 10 years old now? Before I'm 80, 90 years. That's such a long time, the devil says, don't think to your death. You are too young. You have other things about you can be worried. No, friends. The dead, on the day of your death, then the decision falls for all eternity. How shall it be when you have to die tonight? Tonight, not tomorrow, this night. I shall ask your soul from you. And the fool man didn't believe it. Are we such foolish men and women and children? Don't we believe it? Jesus Christ is the first begotten of the dead. He conquered death. He took away death. He is the living Savior. I live and you shall live. That's what He said to you, children of God. You shall live. When you are dying, you go over from death in life. This life, it is not something other thing otherwise than what is said when you were baptized. This life is not another thing than a continuing death. This life. The life without Christ. The life which not is perfect. Not directed on the glory of God. A continuing death. I die every day, says the apostle, because Christ lived in him. And Christ is the first begotten of the dead. Christ arised on the great day of his glory. He came out of the grave. John, he sees it. He sees Christ, first begotten, and then by grace, I shall follow Christ in His glory, follow Christ in His perfectness, when we follow Christ in His death. And His death is our life. That is Christ, the first begotten of the dead, for us. It's a very comfortable, very wonderful comfort to see that, to believe that with a living faith, and to be loosed from all afraidness and anxiousness from death. How can we be afraid for death, isn't it? Also the people of God. Peter was very much afraid when he sank down in the waters. Oh Lord, I die! At that moment, in his own feeling, he was not prepared. But the Lord took his hand and he saved him. Dear Savior, take my hand. Save also me, so that I may know it really, and see thee as the first begotten of the dead, and that also I by grace may follow thee when I come out of my grave, and then go into the glory, perfect to body and soul, in all eternity. And he sees the Lord Jesus also as the Prince of the kings of the earth. Grace and peace from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the Prince of the kings of the earth. We don't see that. Who shall become the new President of the United States? Who shall it be? Who reigns this country the coming time? That's in his hand. He is the Prince of the kings of the earth. The Prince of the kings. But maybe you say, we don't see that. The kings of the earth don't obey him. All the world is against him. Do you know a king in this world from which is known that he really fears and knows the Lord Jesus? Maybe you know, I don't. I don't know a country where the laws are according to the law of God. In the Netherlands, the fundamental law, number 1, article 1, says all religions are equal. All people are equal, all religions are equal. It doesn't matter if you are a Muslim, Roman Catholic, or Protestant. Maybe it's better here. Are the laws of the United States according to the law of Jesus Christ? Is he adored and worshipped as the head of this country? In history, a lot of people fly to this country to be able to serve the Lord according his word in liberty. It was not possible then in many countries of Europe. But how is it now? We don't see it. But John saw it. That he is it. The Prince of the kings of the earth. Grace and peace flow out from this king. From this wonderful prince. You can see it, but then only by faith. Jesus is the prince of all the kings. All knees shall bow before him. When? At the end of time. When he comes on the clouds. When all eyes shall see him, then everyone shall see it. There comes a time that man shall not need faith. For what we see, we need not to believe. We can close our eyes for it, but at that day shall that not help. But we are looking unto Jesus, and we receive his grace and peace, also because he is King, the Prince of the kings of the earth. And that gives rest. That gives comfort. When times become difficult, and they shall become difficult, it shall come here too, friends, my young people, when this world still exists 50 years,
And you are now 10 till 20. And you are then 60 till 70. I think you live in quite another world than we now. For the godliness, the evil things, the people of the earth gather themselves against the Lord. Yet have I set, say the Lord in Psalm 2, my King upon the holy hill of Zion. Be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but in little. That shall very soon happen. His wrath shall be kindled a little, and when that a little happens, then the kings perish from the way, and every man, the future, the kingdom is to the prince of the earth, of the kings of the earth. Do you see it? Do you believe it? Do you have the comfort of it? Have rest in your soul. Be quiet. Our prince is the Almighty One. And the future, the eternal future of heaven and earth is to him. But every human being which don't love the Lord Jesus Christ is a curse. Maranatha, Jesus comes. And so the apostle of love see his Savior in all his glory, in all his power, in all his love. How many sides of Christ are revealed to the apostle and are revealed to us by this word this night? And I hope it may be so really that we see this King in all his beauty, and that we see him in his love, and that we feel his love by saving grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit. For the apostle writes, unto him that loved us. That's wonderful, congregation, to be beloved. Love always makes a man happy, isn't it? Our young people are desiring for a girlfriend or a friend to fall in love. And I often saw that when young people fall in love, that love changes their life. Everything changes. They are so fixed on that girl or that boy, to see him, to be with him, to please him, to become united with him. When love is real and deep and growing, it comes to a wedding. They want to be one who loved us. Here is not written who we love, but here is written who loved us. His love. His wonderful, eternal, perfect love. A love so great that he left for us heaven and came to us to seek and to save us. A love so wonderful and great that he went for us to the pains of hell and hung for us on the cross and paid all our debts. a love so wonderful and irresistible that he poured out his love in our souls and draw us to him, to look unto him, to believe in him, and he brought us to the Father. Father, I have found atonement for this man, for this boy, for this girl. I found atonement. I gave my blood. I paid their debt. Father, accept them. And they are accepted in their beloved one. Wonderful love, the love of Christ. Not in the first place my love for him, but let that be the meditation of our soul. His love for us. His love for me. His love in my soul. So that I can say, I love him because he first loved me. Oh, John on Patmos is so happy. For he sees his master in his glory, in his might, in his love, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. How dirty we are. Do you feel yourself so dirty? And when you try to clean yourself, you are like a little child which is playing in the mud. And it's so dirty. And it tries to take it away. And while that child is taking away, trying to take away his filthiness, he becomes more filthy, more dirty. It doesn't help. Stick your experience through. It doesn't help. What you are doing to make yourself clean, you make yourself more dirty. You need the blood. You need the applying power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a fountain opened against our sin. The fountain of his blood. And the people of God by grace may say, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, not the blood of animals. They couldn't clean either. They were examples. They were prophesies of his blood. But only the blood of Jesus cleans us from all our sins. Blessed are we when we know something of the cleaning power of that blood. And we feel ourselves clean. When that blood is applied to our soul in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know by saving faith that he shed his blood, not only for others, but also for me. Grace and peace from Jesus Christ, who loved us and washed us in his own blood. What a precious word. This word can be translated to, who loosed us. And that's something more than only washing. For to be loosed, that's everything. To be loosed from all sin and guilt that he did. And when we shall be with him, then we shall be loosed. Clean, otherwise we cannot enter in that place of perfect cleanness. No man can come in there, which is filthy still. Only with the righteousness of child of Christ we can enter. And we shall be loosed into all eternity. And is that not the desire of a living soul? Grace and peace from Jesus Christ. Oh, what a glory and a beauty the apostle sees in his blessed Savior. And that's him revealed too. what make Christ of his people? For he is continuing. He is not yet ready. There is so much more in Christ, much more than we can imagine. And has made us kings and priests. There is a little child who loves Christ. That's possible. I have in my library a book from the Netherlands with a number of stories. True happened, really, from children who loved Christ and gave such a clear witness of their faith and hope in Christ. There's an old mother. She's very frail and weak, and yet she loves Christ. She is a queen. She is a queen. And a little child, when it's a boy, it's a king. Who made us kings? When we are saved, we are all kings. Made by Christ. We shall rule with him. We shall sit in his throne. We shall have a wonderful task. Who conquers him shall be given to sit with me in my throne. Don't you know, says the apostle, that the saints shall judge the world? Don't you know that? Do you know your high privilege when you are beloved by Christ? You are a king. Christ is living in you. Christ is king. And his royal office, he gives it to us too. In his power, we struggle and fight against everything what is against him. And we conquer. Not always, maybe. When we are on this side of eternity, we often have no strength against the great crowd which is against us. And there we see a Samson blind. There we hear a David crying, fallen in heavy sin. King David, the man to the heart of God. And yet when he is on his dying bed, he gives a clear witness of his faith in Christ. He shall reign with him. We shall reign with him as kings. And John, he sees it. We are partakers in his victory. We belong to him. We are united with him. And no one can separate us from his love. How strong we are when we see that. That faith, that living faith in living exercise, in living practice. That's what we need, friends. To see Christ in his glory, in his power. He has made us kings and priests. You are a priest when you are a real Christian. You sacrifice who? Yourself. Yourself. That's the greatest thing. The most difficult thing. To give ourselves totally, fully to God. To be a sacrifice. It's our whole life. That's the desire of our soul. And we have still here a small beginning of it. That's our sorrow. That's our burden.
That's our desire, that it shall become stronger, more and more. But we are priests, and He has made us priests by His sacrifice as a living power in our soul. We sacrifice ourselves to a living sacrifice.
And that shall be perfect when we are with Him. And therefore the people of God is desiring, longing for the day to be really what we are here already in Christ, for which we are longing out of Christ. Grace and peace from Jesus Christ, who has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. Children. Children of God in a very special, loving relationship with the Father. Not only to know God, but to know God is my Father. A child which gives himself to his Father. That's a wonderful child, isn't it? And that's the desire of every child of God. Oh, dear Father, take my heart, take my life, take my love, take everything I have. Let my life be filled with Thee. Let my life be a sacrifice to Thee. He has made us grace and peace. For all these wonderful things are flowing out of Christ and become reality in the heart of every true believer. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. To Him be the glory, to Him the dominion, into all eternity. Oh, how short is the time. How short is the time that this world still exists. It's only a very short time. But the glory and the dominion into all eternity is to Him. Do we see it? Do we live with that reality? The divine, eternal reality. What a wonderful blessing. When we come with the apostle on Patmos, and we see something of these wonderful things which are revealed to Him. And let it be our prayer, O Lord, let it be revealed to my soul too, Revelation. Then we understand this last Bible book, Revelation, when the Lord reveals Himself. Behold, He comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. Behold, He cometh. What do you think about it? What do you feel when you hear this? Make this tiding you glad, or anxious, or afraid? What it is. Behold, He cometh. No one can stop it. No one can resist it. Every day comes He nearer. He comes. He's coming already. The bridegroom is coming. Are we prepared? That's the comfort for the people of God. He is coming to become the Prince of the Kings of the earth, to become all in all, to fulfill all His promises,
to gather his people from all nations. Our eyes, our hearts must be much more fixed on his coming, friends, as a reality, as something what can happen very soon.
Maybe you know something of the lives of the old divines. And one thing, the old writers, they have common. When you read their writings, you see in it a Luther, Apostle Paul, a Bunyan. Then you see their souls united in the same desire and expectation that Jesus shall come soon. And I once read a sermon of Martin Luther, 1527, and it was his opinion, his feeling, that in his time, during his life, Jesus should come back. It didn't happen. But you read in that sermon, you feel in that sermon, the strong desire. Behold, he cometh on the clouds. Ascension Day, some days ago. Ye shall see him coming again, like he went to heaven. The cloud took him away. And coming on the clouds, our Lord shall become visible for every man.
But then it's too late. For he then comes not to save. My dear friends, young and old, tonight he comes to you to call you to repentance, to conversion, to faith. He don't seek your death, but your life. But there comes a day when he is rejected, that it is too late. Too late. I think one of the most terrible words in hell shall be this word. My young people, keep it in your heart. Too late. Too late. All the opportunities to hear the gospel, you was not there. Come back. All the services, you was there, and you didn't listen, really. It comes back. All the invitations of the gospel, rejected by you, it comes back in that great day when Jesus comes. Behold, look upon it. Let it be in your heart as a reality. Not as something that's far away. That shall not happen in my time. It happens. For when he comes, you comes out your grave. And then time is gone. Eternity begin. And then it makes no difference any longer. Behold. He comes with clouds. And every eye shall see him. Every eye, everyone here shall see him. But woe unto you when you shall see him then for the first time. When you never saw him by face. When you stayed in your sin. When there was not a crying in your soul, O Lord, open my eyes, the eyes of my soul, that I may see thy glory and thy beauty. For every eye shall see him. Every creature, every man shall see the Lord when he comes in his glory.
And the time of faith has gone then. The time of seeing has begun. All the eyes of every man shall see. We walk by faith, not by seeing, with our natural eyes. We see by faith the glory of Christ. And we embrace him and we follow him by grace. Grace and peace are flowing in our hearts out of this blessed Savior. But when he comes,
on the clouds. You all shall see him. Believe it. Let it be impressed, deep impressed in your heart. Once I shall see the Lord Jesus. But hold me when I don't believe now. When I see him for the first time, and I have to believe what I didn't believe really. Yes, I believe it. It's written in the Bible. But you don't live with it. It's not a living faith. What we need is a living faith. A living union with a living Savior. A life with the living God. That's the grace. That brings peace in the heart of a sinner. A living Savior. But we see Jesus. Not for the first time. We embraced him. We loved him. Because he loved us. And oh, when he comes on the clouds, every eye shall see him. But what a difference. The people of God shall see their Savior. Their most beloved one. Their bridegroom. They shall hear, come in. Blessed one of the Father. Come in and enter the kingdom which was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. But what shall it be to see him? And you didn't love him. You didn't want him. You didn't choose him. You went your own way. You lived your own life. Maybe in a church. Maybe knowing a lot of things. But not really loving this blessed Savior. Every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him. Yes, but we belong to the people of God congregation. We saw him who pierced we. And that gave a great sorrow in our soul. O Lord, I have pierced thee by my sin. Do you know something of that sorrow? And then the wonder of his grace. Grace and peace by his precious blood for such a sinner. Grace and peace flowing in your heart. And you shall see him. Pierced by you. But you saw it already. And you became reconciled by his precious blood with God. And you shall see the wounds in his side, in his hands, the signs of his everlasting love, redeeming love for you. And ye shall glorify him into all eternity. But what shall it be to see him unconverted? Also they have pierced him and never repented and never went to his cross and never applied to his love. And then to see, I have pierced him. I stand before him as an enemy. What shall that be? Every eye, every man shall see the truth. I have pierced him and I never repented. And now I'm standing here as a murderer of Christ. Before my heavenly judge. And now I shall hear what I deserved and shall get into all eternity. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. When we never wilt hear, then it shall be dead. When we here see our sin and what we did with such a blessed Savior, then our soul is wailing, and then our eyes are dripping, and the Lord himself only can clean us from our tears. He shall wipe away all their tears. He gives grace and peace. But oh, when that never happened, when we never want it, that really, all friends, then we shall wail, and there shall be nobody to take away our tears. There shall be a sorrow, an endless sorrow. It's not to understand what that shall be, to be lost, to be lost, to be lost for eternity. Too late. You didn't want. You didn't fly. When the arms of love were stretched out to you, you did them away. And you choose, yeah, what? Some pleasure of the world. Some pleasures of the flesh. And didn't choose such a blessed and precious Redeemer. All eyes shall see him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail. What a wailing which never ends. And therefore I ask you, flee to this precious Savior. For it's now the day of grace. It's now the day of forgiveness. It's now the day of wonderful blessing. And you are invited, all ye thirsty ones, come to the waters. There is enough in Christ to save you, to make you full of divine glory and divine love. Seek ye the Lord when he is still to be found. Amen.
Let us thank and pray together now. O holy and gracious God, we thank thy holy name that thou enabled us to hear and to preach thy glorious gospel. Such wonderful things, O Lord, press them by thy Holy Spirit in the heart of each of us, so that no one of us can have any rest outside Christ. O Lord, bless thy word. Forgive all our sins. Bring us safely home. Bring us eternal home. We ask it only for the Redeemer's sake. Amen.